This is Jaguars Reporters.
Jaguars Reporters Reporters.
Presented by Burger King. Join Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher and peer of the realm we call Game Day, Cole Pepper, as they break down the last Jaguars game and look ahead to the next time the Jaguars take the field.
Why would I listen to anybody else?
Jaguars Reporters is brought to you by Burger King, American Express, Baptist Health, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Reporters begins right now.
And we welcome you in, Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King here on a Tuesday night. Cole Pepper, John Osher, Joe Fortunato at the controls, following the Jaguars. Well, I will say most entertaining game of the year, John. I think I can safely state that. And I'm not one who is always entertained by a bunch of passing yards. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I like the hard-hitting slobber knockers. But I think most entertaining game of the year.
Or as I called it, yet another Jaguars shootout.
And
no, I mean,
on the road,
it was
by
fun
the way
to see. I mean, and it's exactly what we've seen in different capacities all year from them on the road. And once again, they have been the team that I sort of thought they'd be on the road, competing, you know, a couple times falling short most often, but competing very well, playing very well. And, anybody who follows this team had to be refreshed by a lot of offense. It's been a while.
Yeah, a bunch of offense on both sides of the football. And we have a lot to get to here on Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. So let's get things started as we light the grill.
And now, three burning questions.
Hi, Cole Pepper.
Joe Fortunato has the...
Hi, John Osher.
Hey, Jeff.
As the three burning questions for us for today.
All right, question one. Does this mean Henny's going to be the quarterback the rest of the season?
All right, obviously the decision made yesterday, Mike Mularkey said in his press conference that Chad Henne would start this week against Tennessee and mentioned it was not in regards to Blaine Gabbert's injury specifically.
Right, and I think the answer to that question is a simple I don't know. I mean, it clearly he's the starter for this week. And it's not based on injury. It's based on performance. So that leads you to believe that Mike wants to see how Chad will do and thinks that right now Chad is in the best chance to win. Now, oftentimes, with a former first-round pick, that means that the other guy is the guy. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what this means. So those things are why there's so many people drawing different conclusions this week. And, you know, it's very hard to read anybody's mind. So for right now, what we know is Henny's the starter now. It would stand to reason that if he plays well, there would be no reason to go back. If he doesn't play well, I don't know that we know what happens.
All right, I have my crystal ball, my NFL crystal ball, which if you've seen my fantasy picks and game predictions, you know it may not necessarily be the clearest crystal ball ever made. But here's what I think we're looking at right here. And I've spent some time looking at what's out there, the draft, potential and free agency and so forth. I think we may be looking at a situation like this, that unless Chad Henne does one of two things, which is blows the doors off the thing and looks like a world beater every game, throwing for 300 yards, Jaguars sweep the rest of the season, something dramatic like that, or he goes in the tank, which I don't expect him to do. It hasn't been his history. It's been some inconsistency, mm-hmm. but certainly not going in the tank for any extended period of time. Unless one of those two things happens, I think we're looking at a situation where going into next year, Gabbert and Henne are competing for the starting quarterback position. And let me tell you why I say that. You might say, well, geez, the Jaguars need to go out and get somebody else then. Well, look at what the first round looks like in terms of quarterbacks right now. You rarely do you find a quarterback who is not a first-round pick who's going to come in and start right away. It happens occasionally. Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton, Russell Wilson, some of these they have happened. Both of those guys, fifth-year seniors, four-year starter types. Matt Barkley, Geno Smith are not likely to be in a position where the Jaguars are drafting if they are in need of a quarterback. And again, if they win out and Henne plays great, they'd be in the middle of the pack in the first round. That might be where some of those quarterbacks might be available. And we'll see if anybody else moves up or down the draft board. You just don't find quarterbacks in free agency very often who are going to come right in and make a difference for you. With what happened last night with San Francisco and the Giants, Colin Kaepernick maybe is now their quarterback of the future in San Francisco, so what does that mean for Alex Smith? But does Alex Smith excite you to the point where you'd bring him in on a big free agent deal and try to turn him into the quarterback? Matt Cassel may be done in Kansas City. Is he the guy? Michael Vick may be done in Philadelphia. Would he be the guy? None of those guys really excite me to the point where you'd bring him in right. and say, "Hey, this is going to be what's going to you know this is going to be a big turnaround." So I think what you're looking at is barring a terrific finish to the season or a tank to the season. I think you're looking at these two guys competing for the starting quarterback position next year. I think this the surroundings, the availability of quarterback resources, kind of dictate that.
Yeah, and I'd say this: it's a perfectly reasonable theory.
I'm so sorry to bring that up, then.
But no, I mean, but this time last week, even the dynamic looked totally different. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything, after being around the league for a long time, it's you just never know week to week. Certainly not what the draft is going to look like next year. Right now, it looks like there's nobody who'd be worthy of that.
Yeah.
You know, so much can change in the months leading up. Somebody might catch fire. You just don't know, and you don't even know if this team is going to want to draft a guy. It's like you said, Henny may come on and look and look fine. And you say, well, let's see what happens next year in camp. It's just dangerous to draw, and it's our job to draw a conclusion. But with this sort of a situation, I don't know that sitting here today that we know what their thoughts and their approach is going to be in mid-January, mid-February, mid-April.
No, and I'm still going to say that's what I think is going to happen.
Sure.
Despite that.
All right, so now that you've answered that question, what does this mean for Blaine Gabbert's future?
Okay, near term, I think it means that he's not going to play. I don't know that it means that he's not going to play at all the rest of the season.
Right.
I mean, again, that's I think that's kind of where we are. You're at a point where you're kind of in a two-quarterback scenario. I don't think it's a two-quarterback system because you're not interchanging them so much.
Right.
But you're in a two-quarterback scenario. And
which is never where you want to be.
No, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback.
But, you know, there's always a tendency, especially nowadays, where everybody wants instant analysis to say, this is it. You know, this is it for Blaine. This is it for, you know. If you recall, a month ago, a lot of the fans wanted Chad Henne cut.
Yeah, I mean, after the Oakland game.
So that just shows you
and
it's
I'm
very reasonable right now to think, okay, Chad's going to be the guy. What does that mean for Blaine? A month ago, that would have seemed the height of absurdity, which is why I said a minute ago, I just don't know. I get the urge to judge it right now, but I'm with you. You don't know what these next 6 weeks are going to bring.
That all being said, after the game on Sunday on postgame, Marco Coleman and I were talking about it, and I said I thought that it would be a, you know, that it's kind of a 50-50 decision on who you go with if everybody's healthy. But my expectation, I would have been surprised had Henny not gotten the call because of his performance and Gabbert's health for the Tennessee game. The other thing that's interesting here, just as a side note, is this is certainly the most favorable portion of the schedule
mm-hmm.
coming up for the Jaguars. Other than the New England game, where and even maybe that one, because New England may be positioning, you know, wanting to lose to play a certain team in the first round. That game may not matter much to them in terms of playoff positioning on the 23rd of December. These are some games, not a lot of teams scare you here the rest of the way outside of New England.
No, and especially if the offense, you know, is they scored, what, 37 the other day?
They did.
You know, you get 23 in the rest of your games, and you've got a fighting chance probably in every one of them except, you know, maybe New England. You know, I think New England's proven they can hang a number on you.
Well, they put up 59 the other day.
And I think what we're talking about is exactly the same thing. You know, as bad as 1-9 looks, these last six games with a new quarterback, it's not going to change the perception on the season. People are going to be disappointed in the season anyway. But it can change perception of some of these things we're talking about. And it happens all the time.
All right, finally, was Sunday a breakout game for Justin Blackmon?
If it wasn't, I'm not sure I've ever seen one.
Well, it depends on how you define a breakout game.
I define it as seven catches with 236 yards.
If that's how you define it, then yes, you like that. To me, a breakout game is the game is a coming of age game. A guy where a game where a guy does something
True.
Big, and then that's the signal. That's when the doors got flung open. Fred Taylor had one of those games in his rookie year. He had not looked very good in the preseason. Had kind of struggled through, and then got a chance early on after James Stewart had gotten dinged. And next thing you know, Freddie's off and running. That is the definition of a breakout run. And then, you know, 11,000 yards later, there's Freddie in the pride of the Jaguars.
Let me rephrase it then. Was that the start of something?
Well, you certainly hope so. And I thought what was interesting about Justin the other day was that's really, you know, the big the 80-yard catch and the 67-yard play. Most analysts and most people who looked at Justin didn't think that's what he was. You know, the book on him is he was a, you know, 14 to 18 yard guy.
But run after the catch, I disagree with you. The 81 yarder was a run after the catch, broke a couple
True,
of
True, but it was a 30 yarder downfield, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the 67 yard, or I forget how long it was, but the first one he caught was more deep than most people would have expected him to, you know, what to be getting. But if he's, I thought what you saw yesterday, or I'm sorry, on Sunday, after he caught that first long one, when he caught the second one for 81 yards, all of a sudden on that play you saw the hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which everybody had seen in training camp.
It, yep.
And all of a sudden what was a difficult catch, boy, he made look easy and just snatched it and went and then used his body to get out of the tackle. Those were all the things that you thought, okay, tell me why he's a number five pick. Those two things, the ability to catch and the ability to get that body and get the defenders off of him, that's what that showed.
There was another play in the game on a third down on a little bit of an out route where Henny put it right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Blackman made the catch. He was about 3 yards off of the sideline, but made the catch and picked up a first down.
Right. He had done that a couple of times that made you think, okay, maybe that's what he can be.
Right, and that was sort of my expectation, notwithstanding the issues with getting 2 feet down to the sidelines a couple of times.
Right.
And we saw that quite. We've seen that throughout the course of the year. Now, once you start putting that together with run after the catch, breaking tackles, strong to the ball, winning the battle at the ball, I'll admit I've had some questions about
sure.
whether Blackman is worth a number five pick. Yesterday,
well, you had to.
Yesterday,
right.
He certainly was. All right, you can help eliminate hunger during the Jaguars' 18th annual food drive benefiting Second Harvest by bringing just one can or $1 to the Jaguars-Titans game on Sunday. You can make a difference. We'll take your calls, 800-355-NFL1. You can also join us online via Twitter. You can tweet to me at Cole Pepper or to John at John Osher, or on Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. More to come, including the Jaguars signing a wide receiver today, and it's a name you might know. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King, continues right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. You could be driving in a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win and pick up your Denny's Playmaker card. At participating Denny's locations, learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. Let's hear from General Manager Gene Smith what you don't know from Sunday's game.
Well, the 7 catches for 236 yards and a touchdown by Justin Blackman is 3rd all-time for receiving in the game for a rookie, and 2nd all-time in franchise history.
The 2nd all-time, we knew. I didn't realize 3rd all-time as a rookie. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I knew that, but it's still... I'll give Gene the benefit
of the doubt.
Maybe I should be
reading your stuff on Jaguars.com.
No, and you know, again, I think it's incredible that all of a sudden you have two major stories to sort of break down. Is this Justin Blackman? And obviously, he's not going to catch 33 yards where the ball's, I mean, not 33 yards a catch every game. But is this that game where he turns into maybe being that a kind of a guy that you can rely on and can change the field, change momentum? And then you've got a quarterback situation where the head coach has said, I'm making a change not based on injury because of production. Those are two, you know, incredibly huge stories to have in 1 week for a 1-9 team.
By the way, if you believe yesterday was a breakout game for Justin Blackmon.
Yeah, then, I thought Sunday might have been.
I mean, if you believe yesterday was, then we got some talking to do. If you believe Sunday was a breakout game for Justin Blackmon, you have to feel pretty good about where the Jaguars are in terms of their starting wide receivers right now.
Yeah.
Cecil Shorts and Blackmon. Ron Robinson, though, hit his head late in the ball game. Some concerns about concussions cropping up again. Jaguars made a move today, signing Jordan Shipley, mm-hmm. who was Colt McCoy's favorite target at Texas. They waived fullback Will Tofa'o, and my expectation is he'll be back on the practice squad. But Shipley,
I think that's true.
Shipley signed today by the Jaguars, and we'll see what kind of an impact, if anything, he makes as far as the receivers are concerned as the week goes on.
Well, and something you just mentioned that's you know not insignificant is that all of a sudden, and you don't want to jump too much on the Justin Blackmon thing because you don't know if this is going to last, but if it does. You've seen now, I think, over the course of 5, 6, 7 games that Cecil Shorts, if not a every game 100-yard guy, is a guy who can make plays.
He's a threat every game.
Especially if there's somebody on the other side where if he's your second guy and can, and 70, 80 yards a game with a big play, those two guys are still very, very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a position. Running back, a lot of times guys come in and they don't get much better. Receiver is a position that guys typically get a lot better as they learn more about the game. So it's, you don't want to say it's fixed, but it's turning into something worth watching.
Yeah, something was a major weakness last year. Now,
right.
Certainly on the improvement. Let's get some calls in here. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go to Keith in Arlington, who leads us off here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Keith, how you doing?
Hey, good guys. Hey, listen. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, same to you.
Yeah, thank you. And also, what I'm concerned about is that everybody's going to get the sugar high from this game, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, Chad Henne is the savior, and then Justin Blackmon is picking up." Well, the thing is, oh yeah, then we might win 4 or 5 more games, and that'll just keep Gene Smith here, which we want him gone, and then at the same time it'll trash our draft position just like runs like even last year we had a 2 or 3 game bump late in the year and that dropped us down several draft positions. So I'm just concerned that this thing here will kind of make, if it keeps up in this temporary sense, may hinder our long-term progress. What do y'all think?
Well, I'll tell you this, and we went through this a lot last year. Fans can feel whatever they want about wanting to have a higher draft pick. The only thing that people in the National Football League who coach and play care about is winning the football games. I mean, they're not concerned about draft picks or anything else.
And I would say from a big-picture standpoint, I sort of got – I mean, I never think you play to lose because – I know people in this business, players, coaches, these guys are fighting for their lives every time they go out there, fighting for their livelihoods. So I'm not going to sit here and say these guys should play to lose the game. I got what people were saying last year with the whole Colts, luck, all that stuff. I understood it. I wasn't for trying to lose, and I was glad they didn't try to lose. But with 6 games remaining, we saw the other – I'm not saying this is what the caller was saying, but in theory, okay, say last week there were 7 games remaining. If they had lost and not played well and, okay, that got Gene fired, which is what, quote-unquote, everybody wanted, well, was Justin Blackmon not supposed to play these last 7 games and try to get better?
Right.
And was Cecil Shorts not try to get better? Was Malarkey not supposed to try to build these guys into something that the fans and the team feels good about next year? Is he not supposed to try to figure out, okay, who in the secondary can play and who can't? Is the line not supposed to try to – I mean, it's just – I get that sentiment is out there, what he talked about, but to say that you're not going to try to have success during a 6-game stretch is just – it's so counterintuitive to what these guys are all about that's just never going to happen.
Well, again, it's like saying, boy, I really wish the moon would go away.
Right.
You can wish it all you want. It's just not going to happen because that's not the way the system works here in the National Football League. And even not only that, even if somebody were to do that, there's no guarantee that you get the pick you want and you draft the guy who's going to wind up being a turn around the franchise kind of guy. And even more so this year, because there doesn't appear to be a quarterback who's worthy of the number one pick or anything in the top 10.
Plus, if all that happens the rest of the season is Justin Blackmon plays his behind off for seven games, and you know going into the offseason you've got a guy, and if Justin is better and a stud and playing great, then isn't that that's worth a couple of drafts? But if you know that, you've got a superstar.
Bird in the hand.
Now, who knows? I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar. That was one game. But you just can't have guys going out there trying to lose by three to enhance draft position.
All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, more of your calls at 355-NFL1. Eric, thank you for the call. 355-6351. Again, on Twitter, at Culpepper or at John Osher. And on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, find the Jaguars reporters thread there and leave your questions there. Try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, only $10.99. You get a heap and help of barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $10.99. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We're back with more Jaguars reporters, an injury update coming up. Plus, we'll hear from head coach Mike Mularkey on why he made the quarterback move when he did. That's straight ahead here on Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars Reporters, presented by Burger King. Culpepper, John Osher here. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health. Depend on us for life. We know about Gabbert. The left shoulder had been an issue. Right elbow has become an issue. Not sure if it's a nerve thing or what, but apparently couldn't even grip the ball properly. Dwight Lowry's ankle could allow him to get back on the field this week. And Maurice Jones-Drew probably out at least another week. Good news is not a lot of other injuries coming out of the ball game. We're waiting to hear word on LaRon Robinson on whether the concussion issue became a whole other situation again to crop up.
That's right, and we shouldn't say, I mean, that has been reported. No, I haven't heard that he has.
I'm interpreting the signing of Jordan Shipley,
sure.
And just you could see that he was a little groggy getting up, and he's had, when you've had three of them, you're more likely to have a fourth than, every time you have a concussion, you're more susceptible as you go on. Let's hear from Mike Mularkey, the head coach, last night on the Mike Mularkey Show, talking about his decision to make the change of quarterback.
The performance by Chad earned him the right to start this game, and I'm hoping Blaine recovers, because we need Blaine just like we've needed Chad, just like we needed Chad when he stepped in there, because, you never know in this game. For us to have the best chance to win this week, Chad is at ease. He had a very productive game. Guys around him were productive, and by no means is this to say Blaine is the reason where we're at, or where we're ranked, or any of that. We all have to do better based on where we're at. That's me, that's our coaches, that's the players around, and that's everybody.
That's the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Back to some calls, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Robert on the south side, who's up here on Jaguars Reporters. Robert, how you doing?
Hey, guys, happy holidays. My question is I'm not going to be one of the bashers that jump on, whether it be Henny or Gabbert behind the pocket. How are they going to address the offensive line to give somebody time to get rid of the ball?
I actually thought the offensive line did a pretty decent job in pass protection, particularly considering who they were playing against. J.J. Watt had the one sack where you beat Eugene Monroe. He had a couple of other plays working toward the middle. The one big stop on the run was probably the most notable play. If you start talking about how this offensive line is built, John, I think you're set at tackle for the time being, and I think you're set at right guard. Who knows how much longer Meester can continue to play at a good level. Left guard has been the real trouble spot, because they're on their fourth left guard so far, and they're playing with a guy who's really a center, and who's really, was an undrafted rookie, and probably needs another offseason in the weight room.
Yeah, if he's indeed the guy there, and which he might be. I was thinking he might be the center of the future. So
that's my expectation.
It's a offensive line, a position where you need to keep drafting, you need to be deep, you need to have competition. But I didn't think the other day that the offensive line was a
tough to say when you score 37 that the O-line isn't, and you throw it for 300 and some.
Yeah, I mean, there were spots where they could have been better. They weren't perfect, but in that game, it didn't jump. I mean, there have been games this year where it jumped out that you went, wow, that was just really, really rough. That really wasn't that game to me, and I think a lot of it, you know, is you know, the quarterback holding the ball too long some games, you know, just different things can make the offensive line look bad. I didn't think the other day the offensive line was a huge problem against a pretty good pass rushing defense.
Anything else, Robert?
No. I was just basically about consistency. I mean, they did a great job on the last game, had me at the edge of my pants. It's just I meant more consistently, yeah. So they have a little bit more time to produce.
Yeah, and that's certainly something. Would you silence your phone for crying out loud? Again, another writer just can't turn the phone on silent. The offensive line, I think it does need to play better than they have. They certainly need to do better in the run game, which they've not done a particularly good job. There have also been some missed cuts in there as well.
Well, that's what I meant earlier. You know, Mike said it many, many times this year. Some plays when the offense has gone wrong, it's been the quarterback doing something. Some plays it's been the receivers not being open and the quarterback forced to hold the ball. You know, other times it's been the offensive line getting up too much quick pressure. When one thing goes wrong, a lot of other things go wrong and a lot of things can look bad. They aren't really playing that poorly. But the other day, against a very good Texans front, I thought the offensive line played well enough to give them a chance to win.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call. Let's get another one in here. Jeff in Middleburg is up here on Jaguars Reporters. Jeff, how you doing?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, it was interesting to see Chad Henne play so well, and it will be even more interesting to see how well he does this week with the defense having a chance to game plan against him all week. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as far as with Gabbert, who's to say he won't come back from this? That's what Henne is doing now. I mean, there's a reason why Miami didn't hold on to him. Yet, with the Jaguars, their hope is that he's matured in his ability to play after everything that did happen in Miami. So, you know, why not with Gabbert?
Yeah, you know, listen, and that's sort of part of why when I gave you the crystal ball reading earlier in the show, that's why I think you're looking at a quarterback competition in the offseason coming up, and that's my expectations. Now, I may change my mind next week, but as we sit here right now, that's what my expectations are. So we'll see. Again, when you have a performance like that, and it's not, I don't think it's just about the numbers that he put up there. I don't think it was just about the numbers that are impressive. It's more about how the offense looked and felt. You know, use the eye test and there was more open space. He was waiting that extra beat that Mularkey had been talking about. Routes were being completed. Guys were being hit in stride. And then guys were making plays above and beyond, you know, above the X's and O's, so to speak.
And to give the other side, and a lot of the Ozone readers have written this in, and they're exactly right. At no point this season did the receivers make plays on the ball like they did on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had guys going up. Cecil Shorts had made some plays, but you know, Justin had not made plays on the ball in this way until this game. Now, it's very, when you have multiple human beings involved in a situation, it's very hard to know exactly why that's happening. Were they making plays because Chad was putting in a little different place? Were they making plays because this is the week that something clicked? Who knows? But the reality is they scored 37 points. And the reality is they hadn't scored 37 points yet, so you stick with what's going with you, and that's what Mike decided to do.
Maybe they just didn't want to look slower than the punter. And he set a high bar for that, for sure.
Are you hearing bells?
I'm hearing bells. It must be the holidays.
I got this off Facebook. By the way, all of our social media questions brought to us by our good friends at CopyFax. This from Jeffrey. Blaine Gabbert never got a chance to hold a clipboard. Is that a problem?
Well, Mike Mularkey held a clipboard the other week and he threw it. So I didn't know. No, but I mean, I don't think very much. I mean, I think if you look at Blaine, the one thing that he has lacked is that experience to me. I mean, he's got every tool. He's a smart guy. Every coach who's been around him will tell you he's a smart guy, works, does everything right, has everything you need to be a quarterback, and he has lacked experience. And sometimes when you watch him play, he looks like he lacks experience. And that's not a knock on him. That's his reality. And he has played well at times, but he has lacked that consistency that often comes with experience. So I've heard that theory, why don't you let Blaine sit? I don't know how much an NFL quarterback, especially once he's already played, is going to benefit from sitting. And I'm just not sure how much better he would be if he had sat out his rookie year. I don't know the answer to that question, but my instinct is that it would not have helped much.
All right, we'll take time out, come back, and hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, his pick for the Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Week. Also more from Twitter, Facebook. We'll even patch a hole in the ozone from one of the questions John got via email. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working, the 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back with more Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King. Cole Pepper, John Osher here. The Jaguars Rewards Program now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program. But the rewards program is now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com. Click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. Big plans for Thanksgiving, by the way, for you?
I'll probably eat.
That's a real shock.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a family thing. I know they're big plans, but they're plans.
If you're eating all day and sitting and watching football, those are big plans, far as I'm concerned, which is just about what I've got lined up. I'll be smoking a turkey for the, I don't know, fifth year in a row, something like that. It's my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving.
Well, now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. Let's hear from the general manager, Gene Smith, who gives us the Scouts Eye Unsung Player of the Week from Sunday's game.
C.J. Mosley. C.J. really played an outstanding game, maybe the best he's played since he's put on a Jaguar helmet. He had 7 tackles, he had 2 sacks, he had a forced fumble, and he had a quarterback hit.
Played very well. Of course, yeah. Posluszny got a lot of the attention for the big plays and the blood.
He just went over to the sidelines with a little cut in his neck. He just wanted the attention.
He Ric Flaired it, didn't he? by the way, great middle linebacker game for Posluszny. I mean, you're making plays in key positions, forcing 2 turnovers. The stop on 3rd and 1 was a terrific play, and then you're bleeding.
Yeah, I mean mostly the blood.
Yeah, okay, 80% is the
blood. He makes 1 tackle with the blood, and it's still cool.
And you got a great quote from him after the ball game where he was asked about whether his fiance would be worried about it because he's got a couple of stitches now on the bridge of his nose, and he said, "No, she likes you for my charm." Anyway.
Right. Yeah, and he, you know, while we said it all along, there are some guys that just come in and immediately and know it was a good move, good signing, good fit. I always looked back and thought it was remarkable how quickly he became a leader on this defense.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of times in free agency, that doesn't always happen. But, you know, guys knew immediately that this was a football player and that this guy was about the right things.
All right, let's patch a hole in the ozone. Jeff in Stark emailed to John, wasn't quite good enough to get on Jaguars.com, but good enough to get on this program. The reason for Henny playing so horrible was answered by Henny. If you read between the lines just a bit, he simply hadn't prepared himself the way he should have, and this week he obviously did. We forget these guys have brains and souls instead of just a number and a name on the back of their jersey. There's many examples of second-chance careers taking off. That's a good thing if it happens here. How possible is it?
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily think it was a case of, you know, Chad not being prepared against Oakland. He simply said in the last couple of weeks, knowing that Blaine was hurt, he had really prepared well the last couple of weeks, and that enabled him to play better. Now, there's certainly something clicks in you when you know there is a chance I'm going to get out there. Anybody you talked to said Chad Henne has prepared and he's a pro. But I certainly think that moving forward, knowing you're going to play, knowing you're in there, knowing you're the guy, getting the reps should do nothing but help. And it will be interesting to see how he plays now that he's the guy.
All right, those are some of our keys we wanted to get to. The patching a hole in the ozone. Had a question on Twitter as well. I really hate the Titans. If the Jaguars beat them, does Bud Adams go banana and fire people? If the Jaguars beat them twice, he might. Jaguars will wrap up the season as well with the Titans on December 30th.
Yeah, who knows? Bud's Bud.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. His response, and Carolina had made the move and so forth. There are a lot of different personalities in terms of ownership in the National Football
sure.
League. And his is certainly a...
Well, and to give you sort of an example of that, you know, the Titans came out and played very well after Bud did that. The Panthers haven't really changed much after they made the move. So, you know, the whole message, that's all fine. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
By the way, they beat Miami 37-6 2 weeks ago, had a bye week this past week. In that game, though, it was largely the defense and the running game. Jake Locker was 9 of 21 in that game. Chris Johnson, another 100-yard game. He's got 400-yard games this year. And the last five games, he's averaging 130 yards per game. Early in the year, he looked like
he's a mess.
He was done. It looks like he's starting to get his feet underneath him a little bit.
In the last four or five games, he's looked like that guy who ran for 2,000 yards a few years back. And he is the most up-and-down running back in the league. He could be very, very good, and he can beat you by himself some games, and then some games he can be 15 yards.
Another quick tweet here. Very happy about Jordan Shipley. Hashtag hook 'em horns from John. Think he contributes quickly due to his familiarity with Bob. Talking about Bratkowski. Shipley was in Cincinnati previously.
Well, you wouldn't think that you make a signing like that midseason with the idea of the guy being on the, you know, the fifth guy. You would think you're going to get a chance at some point in the last six games to play. He was a third-round pick, I believe. So he's a guy that you would think you get in there over the last few games to see if he can be a part of what you're doing going forward.
Am I remembering right? Did he do some work in punt returns as well? I'm going to have to check that out. Because certainly in terms of the kick return,
mm-hmm.
Rashad Jennings had the best day of a kick returner the Jaguars have had this year, taking some of the impact off of him in terms of the running game, certainly, with Parmalee getting more play. But I'm gonna have to check.
Yeah, there's been really no energy in punt returns so far, and it would certainly be a lift if you could get something more out of that position than you have.
This year with Tampa Bay, 3 punt returns for 10 yards. So maybe not. Maybe just in college, not
those
in
aren't
National Football League.
Those aren't Hester numbers.
No, they're not. All right, this week Tennessee's in town, as mentioned. They're 4-6, coming off their bye week. Am I crazy? I think the Jaguars are going to win the game.
Yeah, I think they've got it. You know, it's certainly, if it wasn't for all the really rough home results, you'd be looking at this game as absolutely a game they could win. The X factor is the Titans still think they're in it. You know, they're 4-6. They've won 3 of their last 5, I believe. They haven't shown themselves that they can't make the playoffs yet. So they're still into it. They're still up. But if the Jaguars play like they did last week, they can play with anybody left on their schedule.
It'd be a nice Thanksgiving way to cap it off as everybody recovers
sure.
from the leftovers and everything else. Tomorrow night, John, you'll be at Latitude 30 for Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live with Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Boselli.
September 2010, Shipley had a 63-yard punt return.
2010, there you go.
So, yes.
I knew I wasn't a complete moron, despite some of the tweets. Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Reporters, and good night from Jaguars Central.